Amen. And we're so thankful for the ministry of this church. Brother Colton's been teaching on Sunday mornings. Brother Brian the other night. Amen. And we're so thankful for the word of the Lord tonight. I want him to come. Amen. Go ahead and get his microphone ready. Amen. We're blessed by the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Stand. We're ready for the word of the Lord this evening.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you, Brother Atkins.
Well, praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
I said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, let everything that hath breath. I don't see a one of us laying out on the floor dying tonight. So we're living and breathing. Let's praise him tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good to us, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. If you think I'm nervous, well, you might be right. Just a wee bit. It comes with the territory, don't we, Brother Zach? Amen. While you got your Bibles and you're standing, go ahead and open them to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Then you can be seated. I've got several scriptures, but you won't have to stand for all of it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Brother Crosswhite, would you pray tonight?
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord bless you. You can be seated tonight. Had another thought on my mind. But last night while I was going over my notes and studying, I just felt like this one just kind of stood out at me. So tonight I'd like to, if I can slow down long enough to teach, y'all pray for me. I usually get kind of fired up, but I'm going to try to drop it a notch and teach. I'd like to talk to us tonight about five steps of an anointed life. Well, you might think, what's he talking about, anointed life? We're all filled with the Holy Ghost. We all have the anointing. But bear with me. I want to show you something tonight. By the help of the Lord. Five steps to an anointed life. And number one is meekness. How many of you know you got to be meek? If you're going to be right. If you're going to do anything for God. We've got to have meekness. And also this will kind of be compared to the anointing oil. I know we're all familiar with the anointing oil that God told them to make in the Old Testament. It was a special type of oil. The first ingredient of anointed life is meekness. The first thing he told them to put in the anointing oil was a spice called myrrh. We're all familiar with that. Do we know where it could come from? It's a fragrance that comes from the trunk of a camphor, I think I pronounced that right, tree in Arabia. It's produced in the form, y'all listen to this, the form of tears. Alcohol is added to remove any impurities, and then it's steamed. As the steam passes through the gum, it's melted into oil. And that oil becomes perfume. That's sort of like us, isn't it? If we want to be what God wants us to be, we got to let his steam. Amen? We got to let his steam of the Holy Ghost purify our lives. Amen? Myrrh is a beautiful picture of meekness and submission. The number one ingredient for an anointed life is meekness. In other words, I'm here to tell you that you've got to have meekness. You can't walk around with this high and mighty attitude. It's going to be my way or the highway. You've got to do it like I say do. Or else. No, we've got to have meekness, church. We've got to be meek and humble. We've got to do what God wants us to do. Don't think meekness is a weakness. It's not. It's not a weakness. It's strength in harness for service. Did y'all catch that? It's strength. Just like they tie horses together to pull a plow. Strength. Church, if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to be meek. Hallelujah. We're going to have to let God mold us and make us. Amen. Meekness is a strength in harness for service. Amen. It's the raging river, no longer flowing wild and wild, but submitting to the dam, so that from it might come hydroelectricity. It's submitting all that you have. That means everything. In obedience to God. And when you do that, the anointing is attracted to your life. Submission and meekness is the wild, untamed, powerful stallion submitting to the bit. The bridle, the saddle, and the tug of the reins. Now, I didn't give you this scripture, Brother Corbett, but the Bible says in Numbers 12 and 3 that Moses was the meekest man who ever lived. He reached a place. Now, he didn't get there overnight. It took him 40 years wandering in the desert to become what God wanted him to do. God wanted him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But it took him 40 years to understand his role and let God deal with the consequences. Can't even talk. He put his self-will, his rebellion, and stubbornness aside and said yes to God in spite of himself. Church, we got to do the same thing tonight. Amen. If we're going to be something for God, if we're going to do his will in our lives, we got to put old man aside. Our self-will, our stubbornness, the way we think it ought to be done. We got to cast all that aside and say, God, I want to do it like you want it to be done. Can you say amen? Amen. The next ingredient in the anointing is uprightness. And that's found in the book of Psalms 45 and 6. Y'all can take your nervousness somewhere else. Amen. 45 and 6, book of Psalms. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Am I in the right one? Okay. That don't sound right. Four and five. I wrote 45. Well, you don't ever do that, brother, do you, Brother Zach? I wrote 45 and 6. My bad. All right. Y'all bear with me. We're going to go somewhere with it. 5 and 6. Let's try that. It reads, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. That still ain't sounding what I... Did Y'all bear with me. If we don't get the right scripture, we're still going somewhere with it. Uprightness. That's the second ingredient in our anointed lives. And the second ingredient in the anointing oil was cinnamon. How many of you know where cinnamon comes from? Well, I see one hand. Where's cinnamon come from? Cinnamon tree. This boy had been studying somewhere. How tall does it grow? But it does come from a tree that grows 30 to 40 feet. And something else about the tree, it grows remarkably straight. It's said that this cinnamon grew so straight that it had no curves. In other words, it was perfectly straight. They take the leaves and the fruit of that upright tree and squeeze them. We've got to be squeezed by God. Amen? And out of that comes the oil. They use cinnamon oil to make fragrant candles for the king. How you stand matters. Amen? Being upright doesn't mean being self-righteous or standing on spiritual stilts, looking down on everyone else. It means standing for what is right, standing on the truth, regardless of what the world says, living above reproach, but not judging those around you. Well, hello. I said not judging those around you. Not thinking that you're better than this person or better than that person. Amen? But we've got to stand upright. When you stand upright, the anointing is attracted to your life. Listen to this. Do you know the Old Testament said that if a man had a crooked back, he was disqualified from being a priest in the temple? Think about it. God was making a point. Your stance matters. How you stand with God, how you walk with God, how you talk for God. Well, come on, somebody. It matters. If your back is crooked, you can't stand straight. And you don't qualify for service to God. Think about that. You need to be upright to walk in the anointing. It's not physical, it's spiritual. And it's your integrity. Even today, when we speak of ill-doing people, we call them what? Crooked. Amen. Somebody doing evil deeds, we call them crooked. So to walk in God's anointing, we got to stand upright. We got to stand for truth. You got to stand in his righteousness, not your own. We got to stand on his promises, not ours. Amen? We got to stand against the enemy. Sometimes that can be hard. It means standing against public or popular opinion. That means you might not fit in with the crowd. Well, come on, somebody. You might not be popular in school. You might not be popular in your everyday life. But the Bible tells us to stand, amen? We got to stand against the enemy. Billy Crabtree said, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, and every other rock is a shamrock." Ain't that the truth? I didn't give you this scripture either, but four times in the book of Ephesians, God says, stand. 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 What's he telling us, church? When it looks like everything around us is falling apart, stand. Stand on what we know to do right. Stand on our faith. Stand on our righteousness. Stand on living for God. Look at your neighbor and tell them to stand therefore. Hallelujah. I told you I was going to try to slow down and teach a little bit. It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Ephesians 4 and 2. Maybe I got this in the right. We shall see. 4 and 2, we're going to talk about the third ingredient. Ephesians 4 and 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We're talking about humility. The third ingredient of an anointed life is humility. You might say, well, where's he going with this? He's just telling us we can't do nothing. If I'm living for God, it's just going to be a dull, dreary life. Oh, no, friend. Living for God is the best life you can live. Amen? Amen? But humility, the recipe for God's holy anointing, included calamus, a reed that grows in swamps. The head of the reed was filled with oil. You know it's ready to be used when the head of the reed is bent over, almost in half. It speaks of bending low in humility. Church, it can't always be our way. We can't always be high and lifted up, high and mighty. We've got to bend low and say, God, what do you want me to do? God, help me to do your will. Humility. Excuse me. Jesus demonstrated a level of humility that society at large doesn't understand today. Our world can't understand why he chose to die on the cross for you and I. They just can't understand why he took all the humility, all the suffering, all the pain. But he did it for you and I, that we could have hope of eternal life. Right. Amen? Amen? Jesus was a servant leader. When asked, who shall be greatest in your kingdom? He essentially said, listen to this, the one who is willing to kneel down and serve. We've got to be humble, church. Amen. Amen. One by one, the fishermen who were his disciples walked in with grimy, sandy, filthy feet. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he bent low and washed their feet. In an ultimate act of humility. Amen. He was showing us, it's not about your name. It's not about your popularity. It's not about your fame. But it's about serving people. If you want to walk in the anointing, you've got to have humility in your life. You've got to walk in humility. What was that, three? Now we go to cleansing. Malachi 3 and 2. That's the fourth ingredient of an anointed life. How many of you want to have an anointed life so far? I hadn't discouraged none of you yet. Good. Let's come on. Malachi 3 and 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. And I know we've all heard that phrase from time to time, and I'm going to pull that definition up in a minute. The fourth ingredient for an anointed life is cleansing. How many of you dirty tonight? Well, come on, be honest. We've got to have a cleansing. I ain't just talking about taking a bath. I'm talking about spiritual cleansing. Amen? We've got to get everything that's not like God wants it out of our lives. The Bible tells us that the Lord is like a refiner's fire. How many of you ever looked that up? A refiner's fire. What did they use it for? Anybody know? Purify metal. And like fuller soap. The ingredient in the anointing oil was called cassia. Cassia produces a leaf called senna that still today is used for inner cleansing. Church, we've got to have that inner cleansing. Hallelujah. We've got to let God put us under the fire. Let me read you this. Talking about a refiner's fire and full of soap. Silver was extracted from ores containing lead, such as lead sulfide or galena. The ore was heated in a fire and the lead sifted out of the ashes. The lead was placed in a dish known as a couple, which was made of bone ash or clay containing calcium carbonate and heated in a furnace to 1600 degrees to 1800 degrees. When the metal reached the right temperature, the refiner introduced oxygen by blowing air over it through a bellows. Help me pronounce that if I do it wrong. Litharge, it's L-I-T-H-A-R-G-E, or silver dross, which would form on the surface of the molten metal, and then the refiner would blow it or scrape it off, leaving pure silver. That's just like God, ain't it? He gets all the impurities out of our life if we let him. If we let him, he'll get everything that's not like he wants it to be out of our lives. And then what's left is something he can work with. What's left is something he can be proud of. Amen? It'll be pure then. It was also absorbed into the couple as the lead reacted with the calcium carbonate. A refiner would usually apply this process twice. You might think we've got to go through the fire one time, church, but can I tell you, we've got to stay in God's fire. We've got to let him keep molding us, keep shaping us into what he wants us to be. Reintroducing lead to the silver so that newly formed the litharge, I can't pronounce that right, could remove any remaining impurities. Church, we got to be pure. Amen. We got to let God try us in the fire. The process was delicate, requiring just the right temperature, just the right amount of lead. We got to be the same way. We got to let God get us to the right temperature. We got to let God get everything out of our lives that's not like he wants it to be. Amen. We got to let him purify us. Hallelujah. The refiner, listen to this. The refiner would often know he had achieved pure silver by seeing its unmistakably pure glowing light. Now, if that ain't like God in our lives, we can't live like the world, church, and be what God wants us to be. Well, hello, we can't live like the world and get in God's refining fire and come out shining like he wants us to shine. We'll still be contaminated. We've got to let God purge us of every unclean thing in our lives. Amen. Thought y'all might like that. Just like Malachi 3:2 suggests, the Holy Ghost comes to clean us. Like a refiner's fire burning off the scum, the filth. Turning up the heat until only the purest substance remains. And like Fuller's soap, once the inside is purified, the outside is washed clean. How many of you want to be clean in the Holy Ghost? Yes. To live an anointed life, we have got to be cleaned out and cleaned up. Everything inside of us has got to be brought to the cross. Did y'all catch that? We can't just come to God and, well, I'm going to leave this behind the cross, and when I walk away, I'll pick it back up. Oh, no, friend. It's got to come to the cross. We've got to bring everything in front of God. We've got to become clean from the inside out. And that don't mean just an everyday walking with God. Everyday, that goes deeper, don't it, Brother Zach? Our speech, our actions, our intentions. We got to let God clean us up from the inside out. Can you say amen? Got one more ingredient. How many can guess what it might be? Nobody? Well, we've got to have the Holy Ghost in our lives. The fifth and final ingredient to an anointed life is the Holy Ghost. God's presence in your life. A hen, and some of you Bible scholars can help me on the measurements. A hen is one of the ways they measured the substance in the biblical days. A hen or container of olive oil was the final ingredient required to make this sacred ointment. And this olive oil symbolizes the Holy Ghost in our life. Olive oil was used to cook food in ancient days. It fed them. They used it to bring rest and comfort by applying it to their feet after a long journey. They used it to form wounds to bring healing. They used it to anoint kings, priests, and prophets. Today, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, which came to us after Christ ascended into heaven, it brings comfort. It brings power. It brings healing. And it fills us so that we never hunger or thirst again. In Psalms 92, and I don't think I put this enough here either, brother, David was talking about, I should be anointed with fresh oil. And I may have given it to you too. Psalms 92:10. I think I did. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed, listen to this, with fresh oil. And if you apply that to the anointing oil, if you apply that to our lives, church, we've got to get a fresh and new anointing each and every day. We can't just get the Holy Ghost and, oh, well, I'm good for life. I got the Holy Ghost. I can walk in the anointed life. Oh, no, friend, we've got to walk in the Holy Ghost each and every day. We've got to be what God wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can't be my way all the time. Fresh oil. So when we're living off of yesterday's oil, yesterday's blessing, so many people want to try that, and yesterday's experience with God, listen to this, it attracts the enemy. Well, hello. You're trying to live off of yesterday's Holy Ghost, yesterday's blessing. It attracts the enemy. That's why we got to have a fresh and new anointing each and every day. That's why David said, I'm crying out, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fighting today's battles and depending on yesterday's oil is futile. You need the daily presence of Holy Ghost in your life. You need an ongoing relationship with God. You need that fresh anointing in your life. There's nothing that can take the place of a fresh move of God in your life. Money can't. Your house can't. Your car can't. And I could go on and on. Everything you think is so important, they're just material things and cannot be a substitute for what truly fills us and makes us happy. Keep God fresh in your life. Amen? Stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost's guidance and direction in your life. Well, how am I going to do that? Number one, you're going to have to get up and pray every day. Oh, hello. You're going to have to talk to God. You're going to have to let God apply this anointing oil. Compare it to the Holy Ghost. Gotta let God apply it in your life. If you want to walk in the anointing of God and live in the fullness and power of His presence, you must be meek. You must be upright and humble. You must search your heart, not just once a week, but we need to do this daily, church. Search our hearts and ask God to cleanse us. Keep your life rid of impurities that will hinder the anointing. We've got to seek the Holy Ghost, an active and daily filling of the Spirit in your life. Make it your prayer today to help you adjust, to help you adjust your life to walk in His anointing, and ask Him to fill you daily with the Holy Ghost. Not just every once when I come to church, but let's ask God to fill us daily. Why don't we all stand tonight? And if you want to come around the front, that's fine. Or if you want to pray right where you're at tonight, that's fine. But let's be sincere with God. Let's ask God for that holy, fresh anointing in our lives. God, I love you. God, I seek your face. I seek your anointing tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let it be in my
God, I love you,
Jesus. Let it be in my ways. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
A vessel for you, Lord. You
God, I want to be what you'd have me to be.
I trust you, Lord. I believe you.
Yes, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Lord.
God,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand cup of praise. Maybe I didn't bore you too bad tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Atkins. So even profound is the word of the Lord. But it'll profit your life. Amen. Are you thankful for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ? But there, the more you look in it, the more you find a great, profound, amen, meaning in His Word. So beautiful tonight. Amen. Those five things of anointing we must have. Amen. The Lord's here tonight. God's ready to help you. God wants you to go forth in your life. Whether you're in a battle, amen, remember the anointing of the Lord will make a difference Amen. Let God use you. Let God have you. Amen. And before we dismiss tonight, would you lift your hands to God and ask God to use you this hour? Lord, use my life and help me, oh God, to be an impacting agent that represents you in everything, Jesus. Help me to keep myself pure before you. God, let me be meek and humble before you, upright. These things, Lord Jesus, to well represent you in this hour. I thank you for everything, Jesus. I give you praise in the name of the Lord. Amen. Before you dismiss today, make sure you shake at least 5 different hands before you leave the building and tell them, I got to have the anointing.